few minutes for an introduction to our topic this morning. And we actually have about 15 minutes of it. Okay, just to get an overview, we'd like to overview our topic this morning. And then we will leave out the first study the other day. Say a few words about this topic, this study. Often, sisters, you know, are back better than brothers. There's been many, many brothers meeting where you come back. Has the topic been decided yet for the conference? Those of you who have been in that position know that this was unusual. We knew we had a fall time to think about these things, and after the seven churches was brought up, a very little discussion at the end of the study in the next month. It was a great one we should go with it. And there wasn't much more than that for the discussion. And we're thankful, and we think it's timely, and we've heard others say that this is a topic that we should be covering. So that's a little bit about how the study came to be, and the exercise was just to hear what today. What is the Spirit saying? What does He have to say to us today? And what should we be listening to? What should we be hearing? Now, when we put the study together, and I've got this in your booklets, and I know that I got a group of people behind me here who are not going to be able to see well the screen. And I'm going to march a little bit through this booklet to show you what's there. But on page 3, and I've got it on the screen for the rest of you, we tried to see if we could study these seven churches in a conference, and you know what? It looked like it was going to work. So we went back and looked at the passages again, and you know what we found out? We found out that the churches, in chapters 2 and 3, are preceded by chapter 1. That's not a surprise. But there is an emphasis on not only the message to the churches, and catch this, because I think this is at the heart of the study. But listen. And so we've included in the study this year just the first 3 churches, as you can see, and we'll be coming to those toward the end of the day. We're going to start out with Revelation chapter 1, introducing, this is God's message. He introduces His Son, Jesus Christ. It's a revelation of Him. He is the one who's going to be speaking to each of these churches. So we're going to focus on this chapter and give it some time and give it some priority. And then as we move through these 3 churches, Lord willing, at this conference, we want to sense that we is speaking. We want to grasp that. We don't want to lose that. That may be the heart of the conference. And we pray that at the end, we may see Jesus Christ. He lives before as He speaks in His character and how He speaks to these churches. So that's a little bit of a lineup for this year, and so we broke it up for one even next year. We'll come back and we'll do part 7. I'm not sure exactly if we do it this quarter or what this summer will be. Perhaps it's Revelation 17, which some of you are familiar with. That may be appropriate. But this year, we're going to go this far, church three, and then next year, we plan to do the balance in the summer. Unless the Lord does not come before, absolutely. For this year, the study passage that will be taken up, let me briefly go over. Study chapter 1, verses 1 through 8 that Myron has read for us with a short outline why Revelation is written, who Revelation is to, rather, and who it's from. Very simple. We want to cover those. We'll go through each of these, the rest of these outlines. The vision of Jesus Christ, okay, in verses 9 through 20, okay, and then the 3 letters. And I want to speak to the outline of these letters a little bit. The first one in Ephesus, the second one in Smyrna, and the third one in Pergamum. We'd like to follow this format, brother. We'd like to move through the entire passage, verse by verse, where appropriate. Sometimes we go a little backwards, sometimes a little forward. We'd like to cover 3 aspects, and I'd like to speak to these aspects. The past aspect, and this is well known to some, but not all. And so, this place these comments where they belong appropriately. So I'm going to be speaking a little bit to the past, present, and prophetic. This means next few minutes. What about the past? If we look at these seven letters, and if you're turning to your back sheet, you'll see there a map. And when we say past, the thought there is that these seven churches existed in the past. There are seven churches that are on the map back in olden days. And here they are: Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. Major cities in Asia Minor during that day, and interesting enough, major enough that we understand that there was mail back in those days, and these were mail stops, and mail routes were right along the border of that square, your circle, that we can see it, and there's major routes along most of these here, and these churches were very influential, but they're not all the churches. Interesting, they're not all the churches. There's seven of many. Isn't that interesting? I'm not talking about them all, but the message to them, in a sense, is a complete message. Seven churches, a complete message to those churches at that time. No doubt, it's a message that is for us today, and that's why I want to say a little bit about the present. Is it a message for us today? Well, if it was a complete message for those today, interesting, at the end of Revelation, what does it say? The Spirit and the bride say what? Come. Spirit of the bride. Who is the bride? The bride is the church. Is that the cry of only those seven churches? No, it isn't. We know that. The book of Revelation covers much time. This is a cry of the church from all time. The letters were written not only for those churches today, but for us today, and for churches over all these 2,000 years that have passed. We pray that we will have much to hear about what the message is to these present churches. The next, we said past, present, and prophetical. There is another aspect for the churches that's very interesting, and we want to be careful not to consume, brother, all our time is peace here. This could be very easily a conference in and of itself. But there's a prophetic aspect to this that we want to be mindful of. The stars and the candlesticks are called a mystery. Well, is the mystery just the fact that they're related to the messenger in the church? Or is there more? And it seems that over time, and bear with me as I explain this, because I think catches. This is powerful. That over time, we have begun to see that the message to these seven churches is in fact an outline of seven periods of church history that could not have been initially. But for us, and for those of us who live in this time, as we look back, we can see a very methodical pattern of matching, if you will, of these churches, their situations, and how the church at large, how history, as in the events of history that have occurred into it. And let me briefly, and much can be said, and I'm going to be very brief here, much can be said about these, but let's get the spirit of this. As we see the seven churches here, Ephesus to Laodicea, okay, and their references, we see these periods of time. And these periods of time are marked with some key historical events, and let me just go through them briefly. The first church, Ephesus, we believe to be the early church. It's a church of full purpose. It's a church that we're going to see toward the end of it. It lets go or it relaxes. What does it lose? It loses as well. Okay. Next, Smyrna, meaning myrrh. That which is associated with death, that which is associated with bitterness, suffering. There is an intense time of suffering. Even though this includes the time of Nero, there is an extreme time of suffering up until the 300, I should say, where the church is under a very vicious attack. 10 Roman emperors, right, in a row, persecuting the church immensely. So the last one,